I feel really chuffed. Just work. Morning, everybody. Good morning. Okay, I'll just get rid of this because I don't actually need this, Mark. I was late. I suddenly realised when I was sat down, I've not given my PowerPoint presentation. So that's just being done now. But anyway, it doesn't matter because you'll hear what I say. We're into our series on entitled Forward, which is part four. And God has called us to go forward with him in this life. Jesus said to his followers, follow me, did he not? And so the Christian is someone who is following the Lord, going forward, following the Lord. Because, as I'm sure hopefully all of us know, or at least many of us know, that God has a path for you and I to walk in this life. He has a destiny for us both to enter and fulfill in this life. He has tasks, jobs for you and I to do, that he has appointed you and I to do in this life, a mission to carry out. Can anybody say what our mission statement is as a church? Knowing Jesus and making Jesus known, in a nutshell. To know him and make him known. Absolutely. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at a significant time in the history of the people of God of the Old Testament, the Israelites, where God was leading them forward with him to go into the land that he had promised to give them. And the people of Israel had been led by God through his servant Moses to the edge of the land. And he said to Moses, now send 12 scouts, spies, into the land and bring back a report of what it is. I think because God doesn't want us to go blind into things, he wants us to know what's before us and to count the cost and whether we're prepared to go and follow God forward or whether we're not. He doesn't want us forced. He wants voluntary people who follow him with a whole heart. The scary thing was, God had called them into this wonderful land, but most of them didn't want to enter. Even though they'd seen the miracles of God before, in recent days, in recent weeks, he'd seen them. They'd seen God part the Red Sea with a wall of water on one side and wall of water on the other. They'd seen countless miracles. But when it came to the crunch time, entering actually into the land that God had promised them, most of them, it's scary this, said, don't want to. Because 10 of the scouts came back and they said, yeah, the land, the inheritance that God's got for us really is fantastic. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. But there are these massive giants. And to be honest, we look like insects in their eyes. And we feel we're insects as well compared to them. We've got great big massive walls and fortifications. There's no way we can do that. And they spread a bad report about this land amongst the other Israelites. And they wanted to stone Moses, and they want, let's appoint leaders and go back. But two people, Caleb and Joshua, had a different attitude to it and said, yeah, there are these giants, there are these walled cities, but God has promised us. We can do it. We can go in there and take this land and enter the plan of God for our lives. And do you know what? The same crisis, shall we say, of faith is exactly the same today as it was then. God gives a challenge to his people and says, will you go forward with me into all that I have in mind for you, or will you not? And sadly, the judgment of God fell on the community of God's people because of their reluctance to go in, their refusal to believe him. And he said, what's going to happen is that all those who are 20 years old and older who rejected my leading, I'm going to get you to just wander in this wilderness for 40 years, 1 year for every day that you went out spying the land. And none of you are going to enter it because you didn't believe me, you disobeyed me. and they failed to enter the inheritance, and they spent 40 years in frustration. But to the other two, Joshua and Caleb, who did believe him and followed God wholeheartedly, they actually entered in and received the inheritance that God had for them. And the same challenge is before you and I today. I believe we're in a significant time in our nation. And apart from that, if you're in here today, this is a significant time for you because you have a choice today. It's like God says, I put before you life, or I put before you frustration. And my message today is, will you choose life? Will you choose life and not choose premature death and frustration? It reminds me a bit of what David was sharing last week, this passage here. Thanks for getting that up, by the way. Make up for my mistake. Where he says, choose the narrow gate. The highway to destruction is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow. The road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. In other words, you've got to really want this. I think that's why so many people who become Christians are poor. And if they're not actually poor, they're poor in spirit. They say, I need God. I want him. And so the challenge today is, will you choose life? I want to read then, it's very graphic, and it's a, you know, you read the Bible, and parts of it you think, oh yeah, and they took the sacrifice and burnt it, and the smoke rose up, and you, oh, this is quite boring in parts. This is one of the very rich parts of the Bible, and I thought, it's worth a read. So I'm going to do that, and I'm reading from Numbers chapter 13, starting from verse 26. So listen, if you've got your Bibles, you can follow, or just listen to me. It won't come on the screen, you can just listen. This is after the spies, the 12 spies, had gone in, or scouts, to scout out the land, and this is them coming back and reporting back. Remember, there are two communities. There's one community that developed from within the one community. And within here, there will probably be two communities. There will be those who say, yes, we want to follow God and we want to go on into everything God has for us and for me. But others say, well, I'm not so sure. I don't know if I can trust that. I don't know if I can believe that. And you either stay still or you go back. Actually, there's no standing still, because eventually, if you stand still, you'll be swept back. Jesus said, if you're not for me, actually, effectively, you're against me. And if you're not going forward, eventually you will go back. You have to go forward, or don't bother. Numbers 13 and verse 26. They came back to Moses and Aaron. They're the two leaders that God had appointed. And the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. But then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the lands, because we can certainly do it. And the same promise applies to you and I today. In 2015, here in Grimsby, you can move forward in God and make a success of your Christian life. And it's a place of life, not death, not frustration. It's a place of life, and I would even say a place of fulfillment, walking in God's purpose for your life. We can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, etc., etc. And this is interesting. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Chapter 14, that night all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it have been better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Rebellion. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. But then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me, in spite of all the signs I have performed among them? And then just picking it up, verse 26. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall. Every one of you, 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me, not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. As for your children that you said should be taken as plunder, I will bring them into enjoy the land you have rejected. But you, your bodies will fall in this wilderness. Your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness, until the last of your bodies lies in the wilderness. For 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days you explored the land, you will suffer for your sins and know what it is like to have me against you. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will surely do these things to this whole wicked community which has banded together against me. That's quite frightening, isn't it? And the Bible says, behold the kindness, but also the severity of God. I think one of the things, you know, I mean, I was laughing there because I thought, this sounds heavy. And actually it is. But you know, one of the things we've lost in church is the fear of the Lord. We don't fear God anymore. We're not scared of digressing from the path. And yet the consequences, let me tell you, the consequences of not following Jesus, not going forward, not walking with him are dire. I'm just telling you the truth. You can disagree with me, that's fine. But I just want to say, that's the situation. Anyway, my message this morning is, choose life. Choose life, not premature death and failure and frustration. But will you choose life, if you haven't already? I hope we all have. Well, then rejoice and be encouraged. When you listen to me, say, yeah, 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 because you're already there. But if you're not, maybe this message is for you. Why? To save you. Why? To bless you. Why? To bring you into something far better than that you have at the moment that will last forever. Jesus says, I give to those who trust me eternal life. That's better than any psychologist can give you. That's better than any lottery win could ever produce for you. You know, the people who seem to have most in this world really have very little. Paul, in his missionary journeys, was beaten, stoned, had nothing, was in prison. And he said, you know what? We possess nothing. Actually, we have everything. Having nothing, yet possessing everything. And that's true of someone who's going forward with the Lord, who's following Jesus, who's given their life to him, to follow him come what may. You may have nothing, but I want to tell you, you've got everything. Okay, so there were two cultures, two ways of life that came out of this. One was bad, one was good. One led to frustration and premature death. One led to life, inheritance fulfilled. So the first thing in the bad culture section, what mistake were they making? Well, the fundamental one is they did not believe what God had told them. They did. Another word for believe is trust. They didn't trust the Lord to deliver on his promises. And I think a parallel to this in our own setting is people are associated with church, perhaps even call themselves Christians, but really look at what it means to be a Christian. And they get frightened by the giants, what they see as giants and walled cities. And those giants are things like, well, do you know what? Those Christians, they talk about a radical lifestyle of following Jesus. In fact, Jesus himself said, as David said last week, if anybody wants to follow me and be my disciple, he must take up his cross daily. That's painful, because you're nailed to it. Take up your cross daily and follow me, because whoever wants to save their life in this life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me in the gospel, they'll find life, actually. I think people looking on think, yeah, they talk about being holy as Christians. Heck, that means when it's convenient, I can't lie then. When it's convenient, I can't cheat my way out of a situation. I can't sleep around necessarily. I can't just do what the heck I'm used to doing, which I like. I can't do that. I've got to be holy. And they look at it and they think, that's too much. It's a giant. It's an obstruction. That's inconvenient. I want to go my way. I want to follow myself. I want to follow what I want to do. And that's a fair enough position to be in. But it's not the way that leads to life. It's a way that leads to premature death and frustration in your life. Choose life. They didn't want to trust God to deliver on his promises. The second thing, aspect of a bad culture, is they just grumbled and complained. Have you ever been around people? There's nothing more depressing, well, I find anyway, being around people that are always moaning and going on and grumbling and murmuring and complaining. Some people are just like that, aren't they? Would you agree? Have you ever met people like that? It's almost the culture. The problem was that their words, and do you know, your words, you can either speak words that God would give you about the hope and the hope that he gives you, or you can take a different perspective. You can adopt words of death. So choose life. Their words became their destiny. How did that happen? It says, well, God said, did you read it? You heard it. I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. What was that? If only we died in Egypt or in this wilderness. That was the very destiny that they spoke over them, and it became the destiny that they realized. You know, I caught myself out recently because as I get older, I don't think I've got dementia, right? But as I get older, I don't know about you, but I do things like, especially these jolly memory sticks. I mean, I forgot to give it to this morning, for example. But, you know, I've put it somewhere, and I think, I'm sure I put it there. No, I didn't. And I said to myself, I said, you moron! You total, not this morning I didn't, but you total prat, you know, idiot, you fool, you twit. And all that. No, I did. I'm being honest. I'm just telling you. Did. And I thought to myself, and I was looking at this and revisiting this and just thinking, what on earth, Hugh, are you doing? Are you trying to be a moron? Do you want to become a moron? Do you want to become a total idiot? Well, stop speaking death over yourself and things that are against what God says about you. He's come to give me life. He's come to give you life. So you become, your destiny is what you speak. You can either speak life, words of life and health and truth, or you can speak words that will bring premature death, that will bring frustration over your life. So I'll just say that. This may help you. If you've been effectively cursing yourself, pulling yourself down, I'd say don't do it. Stop it. And the third thing. So the first thing is they didn't trust God to make good on his promises. Weren't prepared to trust him. The second thing is they grumbled and complained and murmured. The third thing is they blamed other people when the fault was actually in themselves. Have you noticed also, this is another thing, I don't know if you have or not, but I have noticed from time to time that people Some people are always blaming other people or other things. Everything else is wrong but them. And they blamed Moses and Aaron. God said it was actually him they were rejecting, not Moses and Aaron. And we blame other people. And sometimes, you know, I've heard as well, I've heard this in my Christian experience. Often people give reasons why they, for example, don't go to church anymore, or they don't not really following the Christian way that much, because somebody's hurt them in the church, often a Christian leader or something, and that's the reason why they've taken themselves even and their family out of the Christian community, out of going on with God, because somebody has hurt them. They're blaming the person for something, and that's, I don't think that's a good enough excuse. Get over it. Forgive them. Move on. Find another church then. But don't give that as an excuse of saying that somebody else has derailed you. Well, nobody's perfect here. Did you know? And I'm certainly not. Nobody's perfect. And if you get hurt, get over it. Get back on your bike. Get back on the horse. If you get kicked off, get back on. But they blamed other people instead of examining their own heart. So that's the bad culture. You can probably pick lots of other things out of it. But that's the bad culture. I want to encourage you and I to choose life, not death. And it's a choice you have to make. And it's the Bible calls it a decisive dedication of your will to follow wholeheartedly the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you do it? Will you do it? Don't say to me, well, I'm just neither here nor there. Come along and enjoy this, that and the other. Listen, if that's the level of your understanding of this, of your commitment, you won't last very long. Something will come and you'll be out very quickly. You won't be interested. You won't have it in you to stick with the Lord and go and realize his promises over your life. Listen, I just want to say again that God has a destiny for you. He has promises that apply specifically to you as an individual. And his plan, his number one plan for you, is that you enter into his destiny for you and you stay there and you fulfill that destiny that he has for you. It's a good plan. It's a plan for life, not death. I think there are people here who are feeling they're going to die soon. I just want to say I challenge that. I challenge that. God has not called you to death. He's called you to life. He's called you to fulfill his destiny and his plan over your life. I will not die but live. I will not die but live. I want to come on to the good culture. Caleb and Joshua, a culture that leads to life and success. Right. Talks about Caleb, and five times in the Bible it says something about Caleb, but it says in chapter 14 and verse 24, it says that Caleb had a different spirit. So this was the good culture coming in. We've seen the bad culture, but now the good culture is coming in, and he had a different spirit. What was the nature of that different spirit? Five times, you know, in the Bible it says about Caleb. Does anybody know? Anybody like to shout it out if you do know? What was it about Caleb that was of a different spirit? Does anybody know what it actually was? Yeah. 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 I'm undone by this jolly thing behind me. It would probably have been better if I had forgotten it and left it. Oh, goodness me. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Ken. That's a great revelation there. Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I must remember. Don't do that again. Yeah. Probably on the screen behind you. Right. Okay. He followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Now, I think if you're in this room today, all right, if you've got in through those doors and you're sat down today listening to me as it is, that you will know if you are following the Lord wholeheartedly or not. I don't think one needs to spell it out. I think you've heard enough. I think you've seen enough. I think you've seen enough evidence of what God has done in people's lives. And you know whether you are wholehearted in your following of the Lord Jesus today. That's my gut feeling. That's my belief. I bet, if I were a betting man, I bet that's the case. And really, I don't really need to say a lot more on that. You know where you are in that. And all I would say to you is, I just believe God would come to you right close. And he would say, you know, I love you. I want the best for your life. I want life for you. I don't want frustration in your life. I want life. Here's my offer. He holds out his hand. And he simply says, choose life. Will you come with you? Put your hand in my hand. And will you follow me forward? Will you commit to me to follow me wholeheartedly? He wholeheartedly followed the Lord. Now, I did have a load of other things to say about this, but I'm going to make a strategic decision and stop. Which you'll be most delighted about, won't you? Oh, right. Okay. Oh, that's come up as well. Okay. Yeah. Well, all right. I'll just tell you this anyway. Caleb, the name Caleb, is a very interesting name, and it actually means dog. It's one of those interesting names in the Bible. I love them. There's one called Jabez in 1 Chronicles, and that means pain. Can you imagine calling your son pain? You pain in the neck. It was an absolute pain in the neck giving birth to you, so I'll call you pain. Not very nice, really, I think. But this is what they did, and they called their children after certain events that took place or to signify something. My favourite, though, is, have you heard of Ichabod? Someone called their child Ichabod. And it was at the time when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, the representation of the glory of God on earth was taken to the Philistine land. And the lady who gave birth, the wife of one of the sons of the priest, said, the glory has departed from Israel. And they called their child Ichabod. The glory has departed. What a name. Oh, the glory's departed. How are you doing? All right? Glory's departed. How are you doing? Well, it's like this. Caleb, his name meant dog. And the funny thing is, in the Middle East where we used to live, dogs are despised creatures. In fact, they threw stones at them. So why call someone dog? Well, maybe there's meaning in the name. And actually, that's the next thing. But a dog sticks near to its owner. A dog goes by scent rather than sight and sticks with its master. And a dog is faithful. And it will search for its master if it's lost. And the Bible says that the Lord looks down, and this is for you now, I'm just going to bring this to a close, that the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. See, you might say, well, do you know what? I don't have much faith. It's difficult for me to put my trust in God because I don't have that much faith. Do you know, that really doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter. There was a man who came to Jesus one day, and his son was demonized. He was controlled by an evil spirit, and it kept throwing him into a fire. And heard that Jesus was around. He came to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, my son does this, and if you can help him, please do. And Jesus turned to him and said, if I can help you, all things are possible for he who believes. And Jesus said, all right, I do believe, help my unbelief. And you might be in that situation today. You say, well, it's difficult for me to completely trust and commit to the Lord and be wholehearted like Caleb. Because I just struggle with, but I want to say, that's fine. We all, in one way or another, doubt at times or find ourselves lacking faith. If you're here, let me just say, just breathe out. Go on, just breathe. relax. If you've not got much faith, if you say, well, say, you might even look at me because I'm saying, I'm not like you, Hugh, but seem to be quite solid in your faith. It doesn't matter. It's not how much you have got. It's what you do with the little you've got. And so what I'm saying is about being wholehearted like Caleb. What I'm saying is coming to God and say, look, I don't fully understand this, all this about walking with you, trusting you for the future, but I somehow just know you're the answer. And I just know that you're the way forward. And I want you, but I'm not very strong as a Christian. I don't have much faith. But Lord, what I have, I'm willing to bring it to you. Help me, please. Help me, please. I think there are lots of people here this morning who say, I don't feel very strong in God. I have got uncertainties. I wish I was strong in this, and I wish I was one of these mighty men in the Bible, but I just feel weak. That's fine. It's not what you've got. It's what you use, what you've got. It's what you do with it. But they said they refused to believe. They turned and they refused to believe. But Caleb said, he was wholehearted, and he said, what I've got, I just want to follow you, Lord. And so I just want to, in close, I wonder if the music team could come up. If that's all right, please. I'd like us to look at and just read out a passage from Hosea about, it's actually about coming back to the Lord. And it's about saying, we just want to, like a dog would, if it loses its master, it would seek after its master. It's faithful. It would seek after its master. And, you know, you may be here today with, say, I don't feel very strong in faith. I probably let God down. I'm not very strong. I've got this pressure and that pressure, and it's difficult for me. Listen, God understands that. Let me just tell you this. You know, the Bible says that a bruised reed and a smouldering wick, he won't reject. Yeah? And see, some of you are here today, I can just see it. Some of you are here today and say, I'm not very strong, I'm struggling. Let me tell you, that's all right. God is not rejecting you. He rejects people who willfully turn away from him. What I'm saying to you today is, I believe God's saying this to you, to choose life. Choose life. Don't choose premature death and frustration. But choose life. How do I get life? Become a follower, a wholehearted, like Caleb, wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ this morning. And you say, I'm not good enough. Yes, you are. Because it's not your goodness that matters. It's his goodness that's given to you. It's not your power, your energy, your ability that matters. It's irrelevant. You're a human being, aren't you? Right, well, you qualify. It's your availability. It's your surrender to the Lord. It's you giving all that you've got to him and saying, Lord, I just want to walk with you. I want you to take me as I am and lead me forward. And I just wonder, you know, if you're saying that, I'd just like to invite you to stand up. So if you're saying, yes, Lord, I just want to follow you. I want to go forward with you. I'd just like to invite you to stand up. And if you're saying, no, I don't be embarrassed to stay where you are. But if you're saying, yes, I just do. I want to follow you, Lord. I may be weak inside, but Lord, I just want to follow you. Then I invite you to stand up. Stand up. I want us to just read this scripture out together and apply it to your heart. Oh yeah, here we go, there we go. Would it be okay to do this? I think it's Hosea, there we go, 6, verses 1 to 3. I'm going to read it first, because just like they sent the 12 spies out to the land, they sent the 12 spies out, and they didn't assume that they'd want to do it. They sent the spies out so that you could assess the scene and decide yourself whether you wanted to go forward with this or not. So I don't want to assume anybody is going to go take this route. It's your choice. But will you choose life? Will you choose the narrow gate? Will you choose the narrow road? I'd love you to. But anyway, I'll just read it. You listen, watch, right? So let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. So you might not have faith, but faith comes. Faith grows. It's like a suntan. You expose yourself to the word of God and to the things of God and the people of God. I want to tell you that faith will grow. You will become stronger. He will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. Next one. You're going to have to come back as well, Jane. You're up for that. Excellent. Fantastic. Right. Next slide. Oh, right. Go back. It's the letters put me off. It was on the previous one. Right, well, it says, as Jane is maybe doing that, maybe gets it. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. And so here's a picture where people had fallen away from God, to be honest. But Hosea says, come back. They'd been like adulterers. You know, they disobeyed God. They'd walked away from God. But God was saying, will you come back to me? Come, let us return to the Lord. Maybe some of you feel like he's torn us to pieces. But the word of God to you is he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us as the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. So, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your people. Father God, and Lord, we stand before you because we want to move forward with you. Or at least those who are, you know, saying that in their hearts now. We want to walk with you. Some of us, Lord, don't feel very strong in our faith. We feel, to be honest, quite weak and feeble. But that's all right, Lord, because you accept us anyway. And all you want is our giving of our will to you and of our lives, and you will strengthen us. You will help us. You will lead us forward in your power and in your grace. And so no one is excluded. And so I pray no one will feel excluded, Lord, at this time. And I just pray now by your Spirit that you will bless your people in the decision that they are making, that you will strengthen them. You will help them. You will encourage them. You will empower them by your wonderful Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.